When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Okay, so I was just looking at this. My snap camera is on, and so I have these butterflies going around. And I'm, like, so vain that, like, honestly, I'm, like, trying to make myself look ugly, and I can't.
You're trying to break the algorithm.
It's been good. It's been good to have the snap camera because, you know, we're so sick of looking at our fucking faces. I have not looked at my face this much. Oh, my God. How about this one?
Oh, wow. All right.
Max,
the freckles look good.
This is going to terrify you.
No. Nope.
Hi, Max.
It's the binky. It's the binky that I don't like.
That's the thing that you have a problem with?
Oh, yeah. The face match with your body. That's great for me.
It's so terrifying. Okay. I will. What is the one that's normal? Okay. Maybe I'll just do regular.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
This is normal. It's fine. You have to look
it's
at my face this whole
normal.
Time. So I'll do. We are here in studio today, and I'll play some sound effects. But we are waiting for Veronica, the new podcast that everybody loves, Waiting for Veronica, which is the new title of this podcast. You enabled share, and I just fucking shared away. So wait, am I screen sharing? Stop. That's terrible, and you shouldn't see what's on my... You should. Oh, did you see
good.
Everything that was there?
I saw everything.
You saw everything. I saw everything. We're here in studio with our returning guest who we very much love, and we are winding down on this season. We knew we needed to have him back. So I made sure that happened. So give it up for Max Silvestri, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for having me back, Alice. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Be here with just you.
Just me.
Veronica.
Hey. Oh. You forgot to acknowledge the audience. They get really upset.
It's so cool you do the warm-up for them before you start recording.
Yeah,
like,
I do
all
a little,
your bits.
Do a little close-up magic.
Yeah. You had everybody do a 60s versus 70s dance-off, which I thought was really fun.
It's true. I had a proposal. It's a big deal, my show. Oh, my God. I'm looking outside my window, and I have, like, kind of a great view. Pretty famous. And I see somebody has tented their house. So...
For bugs.
I have a view of somebody's extermination going on, so that's cool.
You have a view of a very bad day for those bugs. I looked out my window when you said that as if I was going to see...
The same thing.
Because I'm dumb.
Spaceship Earth, babe.
Yeah.
So, Max, how are you? What's been going on?
Oh, I'm great. I'm thriving. Every day is better than the last. Keep thinking I've hit the peak, and then I find out that the mountain's a little bit higher just ahead. So
yeah, are you ever like, am I dead? Because this is heaven.
Yeah, I'm being taught a long karmic lesson that's only for me.
I'm being taught a long Carmax lesson. And here's a word from our sponsors. So fucked up.
What does Carmax do? Do they tell you that your car is a lemon? Is it you buy cars or you just find out info about cars?
Let me see. I have a little ad that I recorded with them that I can... Play.
Oh my
Let's
God,
see.
They really are a sponsor.
Yeah. CarMax, the only company that tells you when your car is maxed out. They call you up and they're like, you gotta get out of that car, it's maxed out. And you're like, what does that mean? Maxed out. Like Max Silvestri, our guest today?
Yes.
Yeah. Nope. Actually, unfortunately, we mean like it's gonna explode if you keep driving it. So we call you up and say, get out of that car. Your life is in danger. CarMax.
Oh, now I know.
So I guess that's what they do. I think it's like a car sales website.
Oh, okay.
Welcome. Vero is in the studio. We didn't even do very much warm up without you here. So, oh, she already left.
I think okay. She missed a lot of good bits.
Thank you. Thank you.
We had the stuff about the outside.
Stuff about the outside.
The CarMax stuff, which we will keep referring to, and you will be totally lost.
Oh, this is going to be a heavy on. We'll refer heavily on the jokes that we made in the 4 seconds before you were here somehow. Ooh, look at somebody's been doing self tapes. She's got a full face of normal lady makeup on.
I am just so done with it.
You can definitely tell when your makeup is like more suited towards like commercial, you know, than normal Veronica makeup or lack of makeup. I'm just saying, we all actresses, we all know that commercial look.
Oh, like the difference between a commercial look versus like a TV audition.
Like I would never wear this makeup look for an audition because you gotta have the contouring for the audition, because I feel like if casting directors see you with like normal makeup on, they're like, oh my god. Sorry, this is an actual infestation.
I was just auditioning to be a dad in a yogurt commercial who gets thrown out of the house for stuff that gets found on his computer. And yeah, it was a really weird commercial, but this is the makeup I chose for it.
Fucking Christ.
Like, I know, yeah.
What, the nuclear codes? Like, what gets found on his computer?
just some bad stuff. The sort of stuff that if maybe my wife, if I book it, gave me a chance to explain over a few hours with the benefit of a doubt, I could perfectly tell her why I have all these files in a folder I didn't want her to find.
Is your real wife actually going to throw you out if you don't book it?
yeah. She gave me a yogurt ultimatum. She's like, look, I don't care. Look, you can book good cottage cheese for all I care. As long as you're booking dairy, pasteurized dairy.
Book something! Get the fuck out!
Book it or leave it.
You have a beautiful home. I did not notice. I did not expect a beautiful home, but this is a beautiful home. And good look at that striped pillow. What an adult pillow.
You know, we've all been living with our Zoom backgrounds, and I did some rearranging recently to create some more depth.
That's what I call my house.
Your Zoom background.
My Zoom background.
You guys want to come over to my Zoom background for the weekend?
Sorry, I gotta chill at mine.
Oh, okay. Totally.
None of these are working decorations. The pillows are filled with just newspaper. It's all like set bricks. Decoration, not usable. Yeah.
If you go to the sofa and push it, it's just like a cardboard cutout.
It's a perspective trick. Yeah.
This is a matte painting. I can just touch it. This is all right.
Yeah. Amazing. That's
what
so
is
cool.
Your what's a, what was the beginning of this amazing space? By the way, I just spilled all of the coffee I wasn't able to drink yesterday on me. I'm frazzled as fuck. How are you guys doing?
I understand. Well, we're not. I'm chill. Max was just saying how happy he is that, you know, life is so great right now, just with all this stuff going on politically and with the with COVID. He loves it.
Yeah.
You love it?
Yeah, vis-a-vis policy and the conditions of people, I just am feeling good.
Okay. Yeah, you generally worry about the conditions of people, too.
I was really worried about, like, Texas, and I was like, not the people in Texas. I was worried about Ted Cruz because I'm like, he must be stressed. But then I saw he's going to Cancun, and I was like, oh, thank God. You know what I mean? Like, when you just, like, need somebody to be able to relax.
Yes, it makes you feel better to know that they're letting the steam out, that they're just going to be able to come back fresh, because I kind of feel that deep rest is as important as deep work, you know, if you don't step away.
Yeah, I'm excited someone's taking my relaxed time, because what is happening with me is that I'm extremely busy trying to get a job, and then also all of my family is in Texas. It's amazing.
Oh my God, so stressed for you. So stressed for you. But imagine being the person who's responsible for your family.
I know. Like, they have to go. They really do have to go and chill. Like,
I didn't know you had family in Texas, V.
I have everyone in Texas. I've been fucking stressed. Like, my mom, I called her yesterday, and I don't know if I have a curse, because, like, I left Venezuela to avoid all of this.
I kind of feel like you do.
I'm just like, how is this keeping happening? Is it going to chase me across the globe? Should I move to Tokyo?
What the cards say about this?
I don't know. Well, I actually was like doing less cards and more like just channeling. And I kind of got like, I was like, is my family okay? And I started asking like each person, just like trying to feel myself and see like, it sounds weird, but it's what I do. I just like, I'm trying to like my makeup today.
It sounds weird, but it's what I do.
I just check in with myself and ask myself whether I know things that I couldn't possibly know. And then I respond to myself. And you know what? Answers do come. Are they true? Sure.
If you believe them, they are.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But I was asking, I do this thing called biocheck.
I wasn't sensitive to play that, but I did.
It's okay. I don't feel.
Yeah, you don't feel. You don't feel.
I don't feel.
You can only feel what other people feel via channeling. You can't actually feel.
via my body. Yeah. Whatever I feel, it's just like, I'm not available. My friend did a workshop on decolonizing her body, which is pretty amazing. And she taught me that you can ask your body things.
Right, you told me about this.
Yeah. So your body, I've been practicing it for like 3-4 weeks maybe now. And so I asked my body, like, do you want to eat this? And my body's like, yes, no. So now I know pretty much like the yes and the no. But so yesterday I was like, can we know if people I know and love are okay? Like, can we ask this? And then suddenly it was like, I have like 10 people in Texas who are my grandma, my uncle, my other uncle, my mom. So I asked about my mom and it was the only one that my body was like, no. And I was like, what do you mean? And so
you can't know about it. We're not going to tell you.
Like, no, your mom is the only one your mom is not okay. Oh. And so I called her, even though I was like, I don't know if I'm using her cell phone battery. And she was indeed not okay. She was just like, her voice sounded like she was literally shivering. Her voice was like shivering. Oh. And she's just like, I'm not okay. And I'm like, what is it? And she's like, I just want to leave this place. I don't feel good. I don't know. This is horrible. And she was cold and sniffly. So they're with my grandma. And so I had to talk her through like making her feel better. Like, and it was hard. She was like, I just want to get out of here. I just moved here. My mom, she's with my grandma, so everyone's stressed about my grandma. And she's like, we have electricity, but the heaters work with water and we don't have water because it's frozen.
Yeah, right.
And she was like, and I felt like someone laid on my bed last night and I don't know who it was, but I was scared. So I wanted them to go away. And so I was like, I'm pretty sure it was like my grandma or something. I don't know. You feel things. I just didn't have the words to like calm her down. And I was like, can I send her something? Could I get her out of there? Like, could I do something? And there's literally nothing I can do.
No.
Except book those self-tapes.
I mean.
You got to book them. You got to book.
It's like the busiest I've been also. So it's consistently, I'm like, okay, now I have a moment to chill. My family's in Texas.
Yeah.
And
then
it's like, fuck.
Use it.
I'm using it. I'm putting it all into all the comedies.
I'm imagining like, this sounds like the energy you need for a yogurt commercial these days, but unfortunately probably you're just getting like dramatic.
You could play the wife that is just saying, if you ever come near my children ever again, I'm going to put you in jail for the rest of your life.
So intense.
And so she's like, you have 1 minute to get whatever you can take with you. And what I go for is the Oikos.
Is that really what
fridge.
It is?
No, I didn't. Oh,
I fucking love that idea. Just like so intense. Just like, get the fuck out, Nathan. I don't want you coming anywhere near Kaylee ever again.
I can
explain. Get your shit and go.
Get what's most valuable to you and leave. And I get the Oikos here.
I don't care what you take. Just take something and go. It's like peers into the fridge. Like
real, real big shot of me looking at the album of family photos and the Oikos yogurt. Back to the album of family photos.
Opens
go
up
for the
a
yogurt.
Safe. Looks at a pistol. Closes the safe.
I got something to live for.
He just checks different moments. He just checks the corner. Different
Dude, I would
things.
Fucking buy that yogurt if that was a commercial. You know.
I think so too. I think I'll buy it too. I don't know. I don't know what you have to do to
like
make this commercial.
Stuff. That's where
I'm
at.
Oh my god, nothing makes me feel better.
Oh my god, really? You're a shopper too? You're a shopaholic?
I I'm not like a shopaholic in that, like, I'm like, oh, it feels fun to shop. I get really worked up and I'm like, the thing that's going to solve my life is like, oh, I just found out about a product. I need to like figure it out tonight. And like, it'll happen at like 12:30 at night. I'll go into Amazon or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
And spend like $100 on like a weird, I bought this gooseneck iPad stand that can clip onto anything and it can just put your iPad right in front of your face. I was like, this is going to change everything.
Yeah.
This is.
Did it?
Is it like the kind where you wear it? like a
I mean, it's one step away from being a neck brace. Yeah. Truly, it turns any place into a hospital bed. Like, I clipped it onto the back of the bed frame, and it's just the iPad's floating 4 inches from your face, and your hands free, staring straight up with your head on a pillow.
Oh, my God.
It's really...
You can be doing a Rubik's Cube. You can pet two cats at once. Exactly. Like, it's like, the possibilities now...
What kind of music do we want for this?
It's very Diving Bell and Butterfly. I'm just like, truly...
Have you ever wanted to live in a hospital bed? Fuck yeah! I was like doing the wrong energy for a commercial. It's like, what? All right. Sick of holding up your iPad screen with your hands? Well, me too. That's why I got multiple gooseneck iPad holders for everywhere I go. Now I haven't lifted my hands in weeks, and my muscles are beginning to atrophy just like I want them to. All right, that one fell apart. Sorry, guys. But we do have our ads done, so that's cool. It's the kind of thing where, like, it's an improvising thing that is just, like, if you're not really having fun with it, it makes the other guests just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's nice that your sponsors have such confidence in you where they're just like, we want Alice and V to just play with it, you know? Like, we're not going to give them the features we want them to mention or the,
we will not tell them the name of the company.
For what we do, we're CarMax. We tell you when your car is all maxed out, when it's going to explode on the highway and when you need to jump out. So Alice knows that.
I like that you're just driving down the highway and you're like, who is this? And then you pick it up and it's like, it's maxed out.
Get out right now. It's like the Matrix or whatever. It's just like,
totally the Matrix.
Duck down right now. There's men at the door.
Okay, great.
I was watching a car chase last night on ABC, like a really like helicopter one. Ooh. And the guy got away. There was another car chase. He was at a red light doing something crazy, like all these cop cars around him. I think he was taking his shirt off. I didn't know if he was going for a gun or trying to wave a white flag. Then all the police cars pulled away and drove away because there was a worse chase going on somewhere else in LA. And then the guy just drove off. What a dream.
Brilliant idea. What if you plan this out with a bunch of different friends of yours to do a bank robbery, get away, but then like quickly at the right time when the cops are getting close to your tail, somebody else does a bank robbery right next to you. And then all the cars have to go after that guy. And you just do a chain across the city with your friends. This is a good idea for
a
movie.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, it could be a movie and it's an original IP, so it will never get made.
Well, there's a movie that came out that's only okay, but I liked it, called Triple Nine, that is specifically about a bank robbery or some sort of heist timed to shooting an officer, because that's a 999 and every cop will go after, like that goes on the radio, 999 officer down, and every cop goes. So it's basically like a synced up heist to... shooting a cop.
But you just have to shoot a cop for that to happen.
Three nines and a baby.
Oh.
Triple.
So it's kind of like three cops get killed, but
a triple, baby triple
also.
Nine.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense, actually.
Triple, triple nine.
Yeah.
Or
triple nine and a half.
Triple nine.
I just don't know what, but for some reason, this is part of it.
I mean, Tom Selleck and those two other guys, those are tens to me. That's how hot they are. Triple tens. That's what I call that movie. Jeez, those guys, they're chest hair.
But this really hot cops get killed. I don't hate that. It's like, oh, he had so much to live for and it's cheekbones.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
We watched an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. I picked Max for this episode because Veronica, will you look up the Netflix synopsis for me?
I'm on a baby.
I picked Max for this episode because A, he's watched Star Trek before. A lot of our guests in the next couple apps have not. but also, it's like an weird, as a TV writer, it's a cool episode because it's like about this other set of people. It's a episode made to look at the crew from an angle, from a different angle, but you get to know this other like group of cast members of a different show that doesn't exist, which I fucking love. It's my favorite.
So it's quickly too.
Yeah. It's one of my top probably five episodes, I think, of Star Trek The Next Generation. So
a form breaker, you might call it.
Is that what you'd call it? I wouldn't know. I've never written for TV before.
I've never said that aloud, so I don't know. No one's saying that to me.
Okay, this is TNG episode 7, no, season 7, episode 15, and this is called Lower Decks. Junior officers speculate on the reasons for recent unusual actions taken by the command crew near the Cardassian border. Okay, we're like halfway through season 7. This is crazy.
It's crazy. It's like, it appears as though if we just keep going, things... what it does.
Bit by bit, bird by bird, you know?
Bird. So this episode, I can't find it. Something's happening right now on my screen where like I scroll and the scroll is like way faster than normal. So I keep like slightly hitting it and then it just flies.
Oh,
so
your fingers are too strong.
Uh-oh. This is how I find out I become an Avenger. Strange. Strange place. Okay, here it is. Max, by the way, are you, so you had never seen this episode before?
I don't think I had seen the last season and a half of The mm-hmm. Next Generation. So when I tuned in, I at first was like, are these people we've been meeting for a while? Like, am I plugging into this?
Right.
Is the last season where all the actors are too busy and they're like, we want every other week off. So introduce this like spinoff crew. And that's why I was kind of like, where's my Jean-Luc? Where's my et cetera? I emailed you being like, what is this? But then as soon as I figured out what was going on of like, oh no, now this is the people's history of Star Trek Next Generation. This is the, your Howard Zinn, your look at, let's
Space
look at
Howard Zinn.
Yeah. It's time to look at what labor feels about the new frontier.
And I love it because this episode for me is very satisfying as a fan because I've been watching this show for so long and there's so many unanswered questions. A, why does something crazy happen every week, every time there's an episode? Does that mean that like, you know, and so what is the passage of time? That must mean that like we're checking in with these people every week, every couple weeks. And then what happens in between that we
quite
don't
frequently
hear about?
We're checking in quite frequently and they always have some fucking drama. And I don't know how they're like the flagship, frankly, because they're always like running into some shit.
Yeah. They never are just discovering a normal, you know, but then you kind of like.
But what's that show, right?
When you plug into an episode, they're like, well, we just came from a normal thing.
Yeah.
That where nothing happened.
And also space is so big. There's so much nothingness and we're just the nonstop stuff. Yeah. You know,
they're just in the right path.
So you wonder about people they work with, the extras and stuff that come and go who are like, oh, seems like they're sending an away team. Who are they sending? Oh, the most important people on the bridge again. Okay. All right. Let us know if we're ever needed. And so this is kind of like the time we get to check in with those people, which I think is really satisfying.
Which is funny. It's funny because I feel like the crew, like, this is crew A, right? Like, then they must have like a secondary crew or something in case everyone that's important dies. Mm-hmm. I feel like crew B, C, and D are always like getting ready, potentially. Yeah.
Well, there's the alpha crew. This is true. There's an alpha shift, a beta shift, and a all the way to what's the Zeta? And then a delta shift. So there's like four different shifts that take crew, and they and you see that. You never see that happen, as far as I know, in the rest of the series. The only time you see the shifts change over is in this episode.
Yeah, I was so, there were like, can I stay on for another shift? That and the, when you find out two guys share a room.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't believe this. What?
I know. It's so, I don't know. It's like, it makes me wish that there had been way more of this. But like, that's sort of, it feels like this episode is like, their attempt at like modern TV, really, because it's super modern to have like go into like other tendrils of parts of the world that you inhabit. And they just don't generally do that. Like they'll throw a party or they'll be like, we're having a huge concert tonight. And the people who attend are the only people that you ever see. It's like, wow, this crowd is really insular.
but also like there used to be the fear, I think, on like broadcasts, especially that if you didn't have your like star in the scene every time you came back from commercial, people were going to be like, what is this? I don't care. You know, it's like you always needed to be living with the most famous person. And this one is really risky in that the cold open has no Patrick Stewart. He's like kind of dipping in at emotional moments. But, you know, it's really living with these guys just struggling, just getting drunk in the bar playing space chess, wondering about their bosses.
So let's play that cold open. We've already checked in with Troy and with Riker.
By the way, this is like a pitch from two freelancers.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear this.
Which they took from, they consistently take pitch from people who are fans of the show or whatever.
At this point, that's a really cool thing too, Max. You don't maybe know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like at that. Yeah, at that point, I think like the fans.
I have
knew
a big
it
mouth
enough
idea.
to do,
but I'm hiding.
She's shy. She's bashful about
it. She got a little shy.
Yeah, be humble.
So yeah, but they were in a time bind, so they actually had to take one of the. And the showrunners are one of the writers who've been there for a long time, and they wrote it. And it ended up being good because they never thought of doing a first person account from several people who are not usually in the observation lounge. So 7 seasons into a show, we've already seen, you know, so many formats several times. This is like a cool new format for the entire.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just to explore right before they fucking go. Why not? They already knew that was the last
one. It feels like it was written by or pitched by a fan of the show in the sense of like, we're so used to not knowing about these people who, you know, it's almost 7 seasons in. I imagine it was like a fan universe joke about, you know, the red shirts and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which it is for us, even in this podcast, we've been like lower decks, lower decks.
Even here, the fandom has reached us.
Oh, my God.
In this lower nether region.
The real lower decks.
What could be so funny? I mean, what's so funny about crew evaluations?
Don't worry about it, Sam. Can't we just try and have a good time here?
How can I have a good time when my career's being decided across the room? Think promotion.
Did you connect with this part, V?
You can't really believe that what you're doing will influence the outcome of your evaluation.
Yes. I was like, just
promotion.
Book it.
Promotion.
It's a time-honored strategy, Torek. The Vedics of the Janlin Order maintain a round-the-clock chant for the benefit of the Bajoran people.
You cross your fingers and you touch your temple.
Your planet,
what a dialect. What
exactly
does she speak?
Validate what he's doing.
Promote me, please, so I can make lieutenant.
Hey, I'm like, book
role.
Me, please.
He's crossing both things.
If
isn't that bad luck?
Quarters with me, then you should put in for
it's like a
sign.
It's a lie over a lie on your temple.
Right?
Or your temple.
Just in case you're not promoted.
they're having an uproarious good time.
Ops.
The new night duty officer?
Lavelle is an obvious candidate, but I'm also considering Ensign Cito.
It's also interesting how much just administrative overhead these heroes of our show have.
Yeah.
Like, they just are a lot of, like, looking at performance reports.
Yeah. Which, in the Army, wouldn't that be somebody else's job? Or maybe it wouldn't be. I mean, Max, you're the only one who's served.
I'm in the Army now, so... yeah.
Bit of an Army brat.
Yeah. I still move from town to town because I'm in the Army.
I'm a brat, but not an Army.
They spend a lot of their downtime talking about these people that you think they would never have to think about. Though I guess these guys are high up. They're like on the bridge.
They're in command. I mean, Lavelle, as we find out, Lavelle is in command training, which is why he's a red shirt as well. And Sito is in security. So they have to promote somebody to be the head of ops, I guess, which is like a combo job. But it's like the night shift, so it seems shitty.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it.
Oh, my God.
But I guess everything's night. You're in space.
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
That's the big thing about space is it's night. You know,
that's the truth. Yeah. I mean, once you're in space a while, you're like, what's night?
That's what I was saying. Like, okay, so you're just, you're not going to take the job because it's a night shift? Like, bitch, it's a fiction. Like, just don't believe the system.
Whoa. What are you, a guy on Twitter?
Really, just think it's the day. Fire. Just think it's the day.
Get a sun lamp, you know.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Record your morning radio shows that you want to listen to so that you, when you wake up at night, you can listen to them like it's morning. That's your favorite thing is to just laugh with the Zoo Crew or whatever. And you're like, I don't want to miss the Zoo Crew.
The Zoo Crew is my favorite thing.
Though I guess I could go to bed listening to the Zoo Crew, but that feels crazy. Their energy is such a wake-up energy.
Oh, wait, I have to share sound again because I have a thing I need to play right now.
Welcome back to TNG, Engineering in the Morning. We're here broadcasting live from the engineering deck of Deck 7 of the USS Enterprise.
Here's Johnny.
Happy to be here. It's like... Oh man, and my
excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can you be a little quieter, cuz it's actually 2100.
Uh-oh, 2100.
It's 2100.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love it.
All right.
What the fuck is that?
I was trying to pop in as a character called the Space Rat
who we go.
But then all the accents I was thinking in my head felt I was trying to do a bad.
Oh, we're hearing from. We're getting somebody. Oh,
uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Who is it? It's the Space Rat.
It's the Space Rat.
What is that? That's not a warning. I give up on this bit. This is why I couldn't.
I give up on bits consistently. It's too hard because of the pressure of the voice. Yeah.
Max will. I have a lot of these because I was doing a radio show when I was in Vancouver. To do, like, I did a radio show just for the people inside of the quarantine.
Oh, amazing.
And so I wanted, it was just people, like a bunch of actors living in a building together, quarantining, and I tried to do a building-wide broadcast, and I kept sending emails to the head of, like, the building staff and be like, could you please send this link to everybody in the building because it's a morning radio show for the people in the building, and they would just, like, laugh it off. But
you were trying to do... The bubble time with Alice.
This was one of my...
Of course. You want to be friends. I can't believe you're putting me in the friend zone. That's like the number one zone.
I had to have some Coach Steve as part of my radio show. Turned a lot of people onto the show, so you're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you didn't know, our guest today, Max Silvestri, is a writer for many TV shows, very good ones, and currently writes on the show Big Mouth. But he also is a stand-up comedian unto his own. Ugh. Very funny stand-up comedian.
I hate when the intros
come in at the top. Half an hour.
No, this is when it's. This is when I'm warmed up. This is when I want to hear about myself.
I only want to hear about the guest at a random point during, halfway through.
I started to get insecure. I mean, we're 40 minutes into it. I was like, are they still thinking about me? You know, like, do exactly. they know what I did?
To remind.
Yeah, yeah.
it's a show of love.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a show of love.
It's a show of love.
It's sending flowers not on Valentine's Day. That's the real love.
Just for because.
Yes, exactly.
Just for because.
Our 40 and flowers.
I wanted to say this story. My very first, like, not my very first big show, but like a show I was really excited about was a show that Max used to host in New York called Big Terrific. And, oh my God, shows in person.
Oh, imagine.
But anyway, I was so nervous to do that show. And I think I told you this story already, but like, it was like, you know, I went up and you brought me up and you had done your set right before me. And I don't think even unknowingly, I think not subconsciously, but consciously, I did my set and I had a lot in my set. So I just copied your cadence and I just did it in your voice. And I was like, they're going to love me because I'm going to do Max's exact voice. And I basically did a Max impression. They didn't notice and they loved it.
And then you probably were done your set in 3 minutes because
it's like a 10-minute set packed into three.
I talk so quickly, especially at that time, no confidence in my punchlines. So I just was like, well, if I talk more, there'll be no time to wonder whether this is going well. You, on the other hand, a confident master of timing and pauses because you believe in the jokes you're telling.
I just squished it in. I just squished it all.
My mouth has been open the entire confession because I'm like, you just entered into the flow of the cadence of the previous performer. That's like a little bit insane,
a little bit
genius.
Insane, but this is stand-up. This is the kind of thing you tricks you employ.
You match energy, you know?
It's already in that flow. You're just getting in catching that wave, baby.
I feel like New York comedy was all about like the integrity of your writing anyway, so there was no real emphasis put on performance.
I agree.
Like, it was really all about, like, I remember going to open mics and people would always, this is, I don't know, maybe a fantasy of mine, but like people I felt would always give the person coming up, no matter who they were, like 1 second and be like, let's see, your writing is okay. And then they would always be shitty. And then the people would just, you know, rail on them. But like there was, I feel like if somebody came up and they were like from Boston or whatever, and they had some good jokes, like people would be like, okay, like they'd this give them actually, a minute.
Yes, you I know? Agree.
Of course, unless also, they were.
So
a
wait,
woman,
you're saying if the audience could kind of sniff that you already,
the audience would sniff
if they already that you're already kind of in New York on the
well,
on the
like,
New York.
If you had
more
jokes.
Other comics, I think would be like, I'm only going to give one second to this comic I haven't seen before. But if you were like, this guy just came in from Connecticut, he's only here for the week, let's hear his, then be like,
they're
right,
like, oh, okay, it's a lesser city.
It would be like an unknown person, first time doing an open mic person, but people would give them, like, they would listen to see them fail, but also to be like, I want to see the writing. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see if this person
you think
it
is the writing?
It totally. And I really feel like that was a true thing, at least when I was doing open mics in New York.
I think it was true, but wrong. I think we were all proven wrong of how much more important cadence and noises and point of view are than writing. And everyone who was a great writer quit stand-up.
And then you moved to LA and Tignataro is just pushing a chair around and you're like, okay, whoops, I fucked up.
She says one word a minute and it's demolishing. I tweet for free. Okay.
What do you think? Tweet for free? It hurts. It still hurts. I gram for free, it hurts. I like
Tignataro like does comedy as though she pays to say words. She's like, it's a lot more money, so
she's budgeting. You know, she's
budgeting
got
the
two
words.
Kids.
Like a haiku.
I did like a few open mics in New York. Like stand up here is just like a hit or miss for me in the States. But I've always done it whenever I'm feeling like I want to fuck around, versus like you guys who are like, okay, this is what I'm doing. But it always felt kind of like, I don't know. You can kind of trick people with being into laughing.
I think that's good.
You can kind of trick people into laughing.
And people like that who come into open mics to just kind of do stuff that don't have an interest in doing stand up per se, like they'll kind of be looked down on by comics during the show. And I'm like, oh, great, we have to sit through this fucking ukulele shit. But like, it's good to have those people. Yeah,
I'd be a ukulele shit probably. Yeah. No, I had sets. I planned sets.
I also have come fully around where now, like, the comedy I like watching is specifically just, like, noises and movement. Like, I truly watch Instagram videos of Sebastian Maniscalco for, like, hours a week. And just, like, truly, there's no writing. It's just, like, shoulder movement and attitude and making a burrito. Like,
yeah, he's like the Alvin Ailey.
Exactly. And I'm like, this is interesting. And, you know, writing is at this point, whatever. Yeah. You can pick a different word for butt or cock or whatever. But this, I want to see someone dance down the stage, throwing slices of watermelon or whatever.
It would be great if Sebastian Maniscalco was like, it's movement based. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just was like really intellectual about it.
I script out every one of these things with my neck. If you guys were watching my video at home, I'm really doing the Sebastian movement. So
they will. All they have to do is sign up for the Patreon. There's, speaking of writing, a lot of this show we haven't spoken about, and we're already deep into this podcast. Wow. I'm wondering if there's any scenes, Max, that you were interested in seeing, because I do.
My name is Veronica Osorio, and my co-host is Alice Wetterlin. Thank you so much for being here.
If you're just tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Veronica, you did tell me you didn't watch.
I couldn't watch it. I was self-taping my two scenes. Why do they have you do 8 pages to if they know 5 seconds in that you're not the bitch? So it's like, can you just have us do 4 lines and then see, just do, what is the minimum you require? Well, anyway, I've been taping. I feel like I'm not my own. So I haven't watched the episode, but I remember it clearly. It was just like, I wish I had it more fresh in my head right now.
Well, there is, to summarize the plot, there are these 4 people who are differently employed at various parts. She left. There's various different, like, areas of study or whatever in the it reminds me kind of Grey's Anatomy, where it's like, this is a teaching hospital.
Yeah, it really had that.
Yeah, it's so they're like, there's like somebody who's like in medical. There's a woman who's in the Bajoran lady's in security, so she's under Worf, and Lavelle is in command, so he's under, that's a crazy poster, so he's under Riker essentially.
Yeah, and then Torek is
engineering, and he's a real kiss ass. I found Torek to be the most. Torek is the Vulcan one that I found to be the most, just irritating.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of redeeming.
It's
charming the way you look at the world. He's just kind of a mean friend.
Yeah, he had a good voice.
He has a good voice, but he makes good points. But he's like an asshole, and he, is just like. Uppity, and he's like a Vulcan Karen type person. I don't know. He's sort of like the Karen.
We were talking about, speaking of scenes that I love, of like the weird other genre thing they're playing here. And there was, because they're trying to like establish, it feels like, oh, these are like lived in co-workers. They're not perfect heroes or whatever. There's all these, like the scene where the nurse is talking about her relationship with Crusher.
Yeah.
And like Crusher asks, like, how are things going with Sam? And she's like, oh, he flaked on a date. It felt like, I was like, what am I, what? It was before I realized what they were doing. That's when I emailed you being like, what is going on? These like sitcom scenes of just like, or Grey's Anatomy, you know?
Yeah, it is.
They're like Grey's Anatomy for sure.
To preamble. I think preamble is the word. This scene, it's the scene, like, I feel like they're trying to show what each of the different cast members that we already know and love are like as bosses and their kind of shortcomings. But for some reason with Beverly, they're just like, she's great. She's a good friend. She
boss
loves her.
And friend.
Boss and friend. Easy to work for. Fair-minded, but firm. Like
generous
like,
with promotions.
Yeah. Got a bunch of beakers of various colors on her desk. Is she doing jello shots? What's going on? Okay, go ahead and play it.
I'm sure it'll
there.
Be official as soon as the current crew evaluations are over.
She's a little tired.
Alyssa, how are things going between you and Lieutenant Powell?
I'm glad we got to meet Alyssa a little more.
I think.
You think?
I'm sure it's nothing, but he seems preoccupied lately. Last night he had to cancel our date.
I see.
He's been putting together a research proposal.
Do we ever
He's
meet
been
this
really
guy?
Busy with it.
Well, I know.
I truly
like.
Thought it was setting
Sometimes
up
I
a thing.
Busy with research. I
Me
forget
too.
To eat.
Oh.
I just wonder.
Drink and drink.
Yeah.
You can't really ghost someone what? In the Enterprise.
Sit down.
Right.
It's true.
It's like really
it's one
hard.
Elevator.
I've never met anyone like Andrew. It's as though we've known each other forever.
You do seem very well suited.
Incoming.
But I know that in the beginning of a romance...
Wait, it's the beginning?
It's possible to be a little blind.
That's weird.
I'm not sure I know.
By the end
mean.
Of the episode.
Well, yeah.
Canceling a date like that, the way he's been so distant lately... Doctor, do you think those could be warning signs that he's losing interest?
Alyssa, I think you're overreacting.
I like that Crusher is also like a doctor
if
of the
I
heart
cared
here,
about
too.
Science,
like,
care about
you know, Andrew. The symptoms are flaking, distance.
As soon as Alyssa leaves, she's going to take the little computer and narrate her own little, like,
I had to wonder.
Yeah.
Your space diary.
I hope I get to marry the guy I'm dating newly.
Yeah.
Dear space diary. My space date has been space canceled. It's just like you have to say space before everything.
Is he still space interested?
We've known each other a week and he's already flaked four times. Should I be worried?
We haven't even space fucked yet. So that means anal. But I wonder too. Yeah, so it's like it's set up at the beginning of the episode that they're like barely dating, and then by the end of the episode they're just engaged. Spoilers, but they are.
And you don't meet him.
And you never meet him. So you're just like, this guy is
hey guys,
weird.
That's happened to me at least four times in my life. So
it's happened to me four times during this podcast. I'm getting them. There's ugh.
You have other wins. That's why you can't share a screen. Yeah.
It's true. Too many proposals coming in.
I really thought there was going to be some gag of this Powell, like she was finally, you were going to see her kissing him at the end, and then it was going to turn around and be like Patrick Stewart in a toupee, being like, I'm running a complicated scam on women.
Things get crazy.
It's hard to date as the captain. My impression's getting better.
Great.
Yeah.
It's definitely improving.
Yeah.
Maximum impression. So
number one, Picard is me. Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Real Brana energy. So yeah, so that's that scene. I also wanted to play the scene where Tito gets ripped
Tito
a new
Jetsa.
One by Picard. That's at time code 15. No, at 16.
Brutal.
16 minutes in. It's really brutal. She's like so excited because Picard like comes up to her in a hallway where she's guarding what she later finds out is a Cardassian guy who's getting medical treatment. And Picard is like, come with me. And she's like, ooh, I'm so excited. I get to go to the captain. And he goes, he takes her to her office.
Ooh, I'm excited. He hasn't been in this whole episode. This is all,
exactly.
Nice to see him.
Wait, so Cito is one of the ensigns who was in the Crusher episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they had that. Yeah.
Yeah. And this
and
is-
also there's a few things. They were actually going to kill her off forever. And then they were like, oh, she actually has to come back. And yeah. Torek was originally Sorek, but then they were like, the Vulcans have T names, and then they changed it to Torek, which is so dumb.
But do they? Spock?
Spock? Sarek?
They did like a new male Vulcan thing where like their names with T.
Oh, it's like hurricanes each year. They do one letter further in the alphabet or whatever.
That's probably what it is. That generation
over.
Is T.
Yeah.
Vulcans equal
hurricane. Tyrone. All right.
How long have you served on board the Enterprise, Ensign?
7 months, sir.
I understand that you've been recommended for the ops position. Do you think you're up to it?
I do, sir.
I'm not so sure. I'm concerned about your record.
Sir?
The incident that you were involved in at the Academy.
With all due respect, that was 3 years ago. My record since then...
Doesn't matter how long ago it was, Ensign. Would you do something like that again?
I can assure you, sir, that I would never... Never jeopardize lives by participating in
a daredevil stunt? I would certainly hope not.
Do we ever find out exactly what she did?
Is that
yes.
You participated in a cover-up that impeded an official investigation into the death of a cadet.
Sir, I know I should have told the truth right from the start.
Yes, you should. But you did.
You jumped a motorcycle over a space canyon.
Instead, you joined with the others to pretend that that was simply an accident. Now, what do you think that tells me about your character?
Sir, if you had any idea what it was like after that incident. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anyone to talk to.
Because she didn't land the jump.
I had to take my flight test with the instructor because no one else would be my partner.
Not even the
shark. In a lot of ways, it would have been easier to just walk away, but I didn't. I stuck with it. Doesn't that say something about my character, too?
Well, I'm really very sorry you didn't enjoy your time at the Academy, Ensign.
Ouch.
As far as I'm concerned, you should have been expelled for what you did. Quite frankly, I don't know how you made it on board this ship. You're dismissed.
So this scene,
so
brutal.
What's the purpose?
It's so brutal. And like, it had that thing where like, when actors playing characters, the characters need to pretend, but the actors can't help but act too good. You know, yeah. They're like, well, I would sell it. And I was like, he's never this cruel.
Yeah.
Like this. I literally, this was a moment in the show where I was like, are they all under like a spell? Is there some sort of like something in the air changing? Because like Worf is so nervous and distracted by something. And there's like, because I didn't quite get what the tensions were. I do like how it played out.
Yeah. So the next scene is basically the follow up to this scene where you're like, oh, that's why he was doing that. And she comes and stands up for herself.
I can't change what happened at the Academy. No one can. All I can do is work hard and try to earn the respect of the people I serve with. If you're not going to give me that chance, then I respectfully request that you transfer me to another ship.
If you're looking for a more lenient commander, I don't think you'll find one.
Permission to speak freely, sir.
That was pretty free how you were speaking.
Yeah, it's true. How much more free is it going to be? It's going to be slam poetry?
If you didn't want me on your ship, you should have said so when I was assigned to it. It's not your place to punish me for what I did at the Academy. I've worked hard here. My record is exemplary. If you're going to judge me for what I am now.
This is not more free or less free than before.
I will.
She also fucked up in the opening scene. She had the target locked on when she should have kept it loose.
Kept it loose.
I didn't ask you here because I
float it. Float it until we
qualifications for the ops position.
I don't understand, sir.
I was harsh with you because I wanted to assess you for a very important mission, a mission that could put you in a situation that would be far more unnerving than a dressing down by your commanding officer.
Can I ask what that mission
is? It's a dance off.
Join the senior officers in the
and the judges are going to be harsh.
We'll discuss it then.
Don't think it's going to be all nines and tens. Yes, sir. It's to be honest.
Space Simon Cowell will be there.
I do know why you ended up on the Enterprise. I asked for you.
Oh.
I wanted to make sure that you got a fair chance to redeem yourself.
I choked
Thank
up
you,
at
sir.
That part.
Aw. You really?
And well, I just was like, there's the sweet, fair Picard I knew.
Yes, the Picard I know and love.
The one we were waiting for.
Exactly.
I was very like, even with that moment, I still was feeling why I was like mean to you.
Yeah.
To see how you dealt with being mean. Yeah.
I fucked with you because I was like, what would this be like? Basically, that's what happened.
That's basically how I live my life.
I don't like how you're like, I'm great. So yeah. I was like, let me fucking take her down a few pegs. You know what I'm saying? I'm the captain.
Me and the boys were talking about mailing you to the enemy. And we wanted to see if you could. The enemy's going to give you a lot of lip. So
we're going to shoot you in a cannon to some enemies. So,
yeah.
And then the rest of the time they talk to her about this like mission. They're basically like trying so hard to tell her like, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't wait to fulfill my duty and I'll see you when I get back. And they're like, probably not though. She's like, no, I'll make you proud.
Feed my chickens while I'm gone. There's 5 days of food. That's all
we
they'll need.
We already
I'll be
gave
back.
Your chickens away. Do you understand? Your room is given to somebody else. You're
that omelet
die.
You're eating. that chicken omelet is both their eggs
eat.
And their meat.
Both their eggs.
We made them do their last few eggs, and then we killed them.
We made them do their eggs. You're such a fucking country farmer, Max. You can see he's just like, do your eggs.
All right, guys. Time to do your eggs. Come on.
Okay,
come on.
Enough clucking around. Time to do your eggs. Let's go.
I know
it.
You got another one in there. You've only done one.
Tick tock, tick tock.
You and your wife trying to conceive. I don't know. Do your eggs. So yeah, basically they shoot her to the enemy and then she does die, but she's able to redeem herself, I guess, by dying, which is sort of fucked up.
And then Data in his one moment is just like, sensors are picking up some, your friend shaped bones and, not all of the bones, but a little bit of bones that definitely match, our friend. So. 99% chance.
Sensors are reading a locket and it says best.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my ensign on the right here and it says friend. So
I'm scanning. I'm seeing, oh yeah, the back of a woman officer and the body's turning around and oh my God. Okay. There's no front. We only have the back. I guess those sensors are not.
Maybe I should have described it after seeing the whole picture, but here's where we are.
She's alive, is what I would have said if it wasn't just teeth floating in space. I'm sorry I put it that way.
Sir, it's teeth. So, yeah, that's the whole thing. And I did not hate this episode for doing that. I thought it was actually a great situation because if you look at it in terms of like the entirety of the canon of the show, like everybody is always sending us an away team. It's always got one ensign. That ensign always dies. So for now, at least we got to like know.
Oh my God.
And those ensigns never have any lines. They're always like, they did not pay to speak.
They silently die.
And there was so much, like, it actually was like there's four new characters. I mean, I know Sito and Torek maybe have been around, but like that you're like, oh, she had a problem at the academy. Mm-hmm. She lost a lot of friends. She's redeeming herself. She's learning to stand up for herself. She's competing with her friend, but also like in a good way. Like they both want the best for each other.
Yeah.
She's willing to, like, so much happens. And then, you know, it's so sad.
They were they were trying to get her to be in a future episode, Cardassian prisoner. And they also, like, the showrunner did see, like, he was like, definitely she has to die. And then he watched the episode and was like, oh no, we have to not kill her, please. And then,
well, it did. Yeah. And it did kill her in a kind of like, it wasn't like they were like, here's her body. You know, they were like, we got reports that somebody died and it was her description, which could easily be Cardassians making shit up so that she could come back in a later episode. Hell, she can come back today.
But it was also almost moving that it was like finding the remains via Data rather than like her falling over a railing with a laser blast shot or whatever they normally do with nameless ensigns.
A rock.
Yeah.
She's killed by a paper mache rock. Which
And the rock shook a lot when she tripped over it. Definitely didn't seem like that heavy a rock.
When she was lying on the ground, she was breathing, and the rock, you could see the rock going like up and down. So that's
these boulders landed on her. I don't know. She should just push them off.
She should, but that's on her a little bit. It's
I death-ish. Found the most emotionally affecting story of the episode to be Worf. Worf's sweet patronage. I don't know, like his mentorship.
He loved his little Sito.
Yeah.
He's like little.
Worf loves his Sito, you know? And she's very. So there's a scene with them doing like Klingon fighting, which is funny.
Yeah, when they're in their little robes.
Yeah,
their
so little, that's, that was right before the previous scene.
In their Kim K collection. Just like.
Their Kim K.
I have that Lunya sleep mask they're wearing while she's having to fight blindfolded.
It's for sale on Wish. But
it's it's hydrating.
Let's go to 34 minutes. Because that's where they are in the ready room discussing like what the hell she's supposed to do.
What's about to.
And
what about the god?
I just love the energy.
And return you back across the border. Since the pod is so small, it will be difficult to detect. We'll be waiting here to pick you up.
I understand, sir.
Instant
or emptying out your room. I don't know.
Mission. Yeah.
I am not.
We might have to pick you up with a fishing net. You understand what
no
I'm saying,
volunteer,
right?
Sir.
One of those claws.
Be certain to understand the risk you are taking.
Extendo.
If you are captured...
I'm Bajoran. No one knows better than I do what Cardassians do to their prisoners. I've made my decision.
Very well, Anson. Will you report to sick bay? Dr. Crusher will explain. And Ensign Seto, I must ask you not to discuss this mission with anyone.
Yes, sir.
You're in the cool kids club now.
And you need to write a will?
Yeah. So...
this next scene is so sad, I feel like.
I didn't realize she would be so young.
I wanted somebody kind of mature. Yeah.
You know, closer to the end than the beginning? Jeez, seems like a waste.
You don't have any ensigns that are, like, long in the tooth?
And you haven't used her for breeding yet at all? Oh, God, that
at
seems
all.
Like...
at all?
He's not like, even a little?
At all.
The captain
not one of you has
to make
bred
it look
her?
Like Jared had mistreated me.
That's a...
Worf's like, oh,
how Worf so relieved.
I hate this.
Did Crusher do her hair, too? Mm.
I just want you to know that I really appreciate the fact that you've always had confidence.
Really tuned her up. It's really brutal, like mm-hmm. black and blue.
I'll see you soon.
Feels like a Cardassian would know you gotta hit him in the stomach so that, you know, you can't
and she's
be
like,
accused of.
My one request is that I wear Arlene Fisher.
I don't want anything with a waist if I'm going to be a prisoner. I want to just feel free.
You want a free flow. You know yeah. what I mean? Maybe a crush velvet. If you're going to have to be taken prisoner by the Cardassians.
A woman of my age needs to be up. Smart about her silhouette. I learned that in the academy.
It's called a cone heel.
A woman my age.
So they're basically flying away and she's like, so what? Why are you being cool about this, Cardassian? Because as a Bajoran, she just does not trust Cardassians. And he's
frankly,
like, why are you being cool about having not been bred?
That Cardassian, the guy in the shuttle, that scene, his makeup looks a little, like, empty. Like, it should have more makeup.
Empty?
The way
like,
it, it's makeup. Lacking some. Because it's a full, it's a fill. Like, it changes the entire color of his face, except, like, mm-hmm. right here.
Oh. Maybe he had just eaten.
That's a thing with Torque,
like
too.
Like, a bagel.
Where this feels like they never should have released HD versions of some of yeah. this stuff, you mm-hmm. know? Where you're mm-hmm. like, ooh, you definitely tested this on a 14-inch Toshiba or
Skylar
whatever.
Skylar suggested that he had ribs. He might have looked that up in the fandom, fan wiki. It was ribs day at Crafty.
Oh my God, two racks. I shouldn't have gone back. One was enough.
So that is that episode. Any takeaways? I think I've already summarized my admiration for this one. Fuck, I love it so much. I wish there was more. Basically, I wish there was more episodes like this. And there are in Discovery. Discovery is kind of like a whole show that's this.
I will say, as much as I loved the like, oh, it's so cool to be with these people who are not the normal heroes and have these insecurities. Mm-hmm. It felt like a show about the like workers written by the bosses, where it's we're kind of, for all their dilemmas they have, they're just like, I wish this smart, great guy would just notice me. And I just don't like, I worry that he's so smart and great. He's busy. And maybe that's like, it's my fault. And, like that none of the issues are like, well, Riker's kind of a jerk, I feel, or he's this.
Except
it's all
Riker does get called out on him being a dipshit by Troy they're playing, which I do love. My other favorite character of this episode is the guy who works at the
the guy
Ben
who calls him Will.
Something. Will. Yeah. The guy who works with them. He's just a civilian. And so he works in 10 Forward and he's not military or whatever. So he's like, I can just go hang out with whoever I want. It's really rad. And you start to realize like, hey, we've never gotten to speak to any of the people that wear those weird jester costumes that work at 10 Forward. And B, it's probably the coolest job to have on the Enterprise, except for the fact that like you didn't sign up for this and you're constantly getting shot.
Yeah. Yes. And what a complicated arrangement to be like, well, basically Starfleet, has a contract with a catering company. So I'm an employee with benefits of the catering company. And
they outsource to Space Cater.
Yeah.
And Space
like
Cater, the benefits. But it's like also crazy because like, I wonder if one of those guys
like at 10 forward, if he dies in a weird standoff that happens in 10 forward way too often, does he get like a military burial?
Right. Right. Like, they just wrap him in saran wrap and throw him back at Earth or whatever.
Hope it makes it there.
Hope, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Hope he makes it to the cafeteria in the sky. Well, it's all sky, so he does. Okay.
I really liked the moment. It was ridiculous, but actually that was when I emailed you and said, like, and now I'm kind of crying at this episode. It was the moment where this bartender server character sweetly makes up the most nonsense first thought lie to Worf, which is, I need to move this table. You can move to that empty seat
that
over there.
That was the best. So that's 42 minutes in. Let's see, 42, 49, whatever, 43 minutes. And yeah, so basically all of Ensign Sito's friends are sitting around being like, whew, this was a day. And basically in grief.
No space chess tonight.
Yeah, no space chess tonight. No space poker. And Worf is just sitting by himself, kind of sad.
He's got a window seat. It's a sad two top, but he does have a view of space.
Command only table. Yeah. I bet they have a shitty like paper reserved signs on those tables. Ugh, so annoying.
I just got promoted.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Just doesn't feel right. For all I
know, this guy's never happy.
She was gonna get the promotion instead of me.
You shouldn't feel that way, Sam.
She would have been happy for you, Sam.
The best way to remember her would be to excel in your new position.
Remember, he was on Friends. He went to high school with Monica and Rachel.
The best way to remember her is to learn Excel. God, I can't. I've been working on it. It's the year 2040, and I cannot.
It's gonna try to convert everything to a date.
But I need to move this table.
There's nothing to do about that.
So cute.
There's an empty seat over there.
Why can't I just stand up and then go sit down when you finish moving the table?
I appreciate what you are trying to do, but it is not appropriate.
It really isn't.
You were her friends.
I want to look at space.
I was only her commanding officer.
Sir, I happen to know that she considered you a friend.
Friend. Worf. Friend.
His mustache is extra twirled today.
He's been nervously twirling for days. They all get up. Ugh. It's like the server comes over to be like, sit down.
The server is just like a Latina mom.
Yeah.
You sit here, you make friends.
Would you all like to scream with me?
Would you engage in a rakta? We all hold hands and then squeeze each other's bones.
Okay. We like to talk about things she liked. So that was really sweet. What a good ep.
Really good ep. And
solid
now
ep.
She didn't come back in any... But before the end of the series, she's...
I mean, no.
I mean...
We're really close to the end of the series, no.
Yeah.
And she didn't come back in this series. Who knows? She might have come back in Deep Space Nine, but I think Veronica's done some deep digging and has shown that she has not.
I don't think so. But it's not clear to me at this point.
It is unclear.
I think that she didn't come back. I think they did plan a plot for her in DS9. And they just tried, but I don't think they didn't have time for the rest of whatever. Let's see. We can't let her stay dead. We got
to
bring her back. And then they say...
She was great, by the way. The actress who played Sito. I liked her a lot.
Me too.
I liked her little voice. She should have a singing career.
Oh, yeah. The Cardassian prison one was never produced, but it became the basic premise for a Deep Space Nine episode.
Mm-hmm. Called it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wonder what she's up to now. Well, we'll never know.
Yeah. She died in enemy space.
Yeah, she died in shooting in Canada. AKA enemy space.
I wish when Picard had given his little announcement, like, did that go over to all of Starfleet? Is that like you're sleeping in a different part of space and Picard is just like to all Starfleet?
I think you just read it on the logs, like something comes in on the like space newsletter or whatever.
Okay. So like, if your notifications muted.
Yeah. If you're on Do Not Disturb.
Right.
It doesn't show until the morning. I'm trying to get a little work done. And you're like, oh, great. And all space Twitter is like, oh.
It's so hard to get work done when you're looking at your tricorder every 60 seconds for new see who died.
It's true. And people are like,
I got to put my tricorder in another room.
Tributes. And they're like, didn't even know her. All right, Max, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on this emotional sweet episode.
Did you cry a little bit?
You did cry, you emailed me.
I teared up at the Worf moment.
Proof of cry email.
At the Worf alone in the window moment.
When he was like, I can't be friends with them. Then they're like, you are her friend.
And it would be cool to play like over the Worf scene, that song from that Friends episode that's like, it's the U2.
Which U2 song? Are you allowed to sing?
One.
Oh yeah.
We are allowed to sing on this show. No copyright.
One love.
Yeah.
One thing. Heaven forever. I mostly know that song because of. Do you remember? I think it's been fully taken down from the internet, but it went viral many years ago. A Bank of America employee singing, like a guy who looks just like a Bank of America VP singing at a company meeting a version of that song with a guitar player, but it's about one card. They had introduced some sort of like debit/credit all in one thing. And it's like one card. It clearly like a bank VP who had secretly, you know, karaoke guy his whole life and changed some lyrics. And it's so brutal.
I'm Googling right now because one cover.
That is a real life like video that
definitely been
it's
taken.
Here. Oh, you're right. Yes. It has been taken down. Fringe.
Why do you think?
Video unavailable.
Maybe U2 was like, it's too good.
Why is that more funny? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I actually see. Oh, it's David Cross did a cover. So that stayed.
And it's one bank. One card, one name that's known all over the world. One spirit, we get to share it, leading us all to higher standards. I found the lyrics, so I just...
You actually... All right, maybe I can share sound for this.
Oh, yeah. Do you like the Cowboys or your university? Because you could get whatever you wanted printed on the card. Do you like the Yankees or is NASCAR more your speed?
It is even better now that we're the same. Two great companies got together. Now MNBAA is B of A. And it's one bay, one car, one name that's known all over the world. One spirit, we get to share it, leading us all to higher standards.
David Cross is
like
kind of a great singer.
Your universe.
Thank you for being here, Max. Thank you so much.
This was so fun. Thanks, guys.
This was so fun to have you here.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.